Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired Saturday, April 28th, 2018, on the Premier Networks. Rich DeMuro from KTLA is filling in for me. This is episode 1483. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Texture. Access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Go to texture.com/twit to start your free trial today.
Welcome. You are listening to Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. But you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, that doesn't sound like Leo. Leo is on vacation, so in his place today is me, Rich DeMuro. Welcome to the show. We are going to talk about technology. We're going to have a great time taking your calls, and I've got lots of great things to talk about, like Amazon, all the things they did this week, Apple, your phone, that thing in your pocket that you still can't figure out, all the good questions you have, get ready to have them answered. I'm Rich DeMuro. RichOnTech.tv is how some of you might know me in the LA area and beyond. I'm the tech reporter for KTLA 5 TV in Los Angeles. I'm also syndicated on a bunch of TV stations nationwide, so you might see me pop up in Cleveland or New Orleans or New York or Chicago. But beyond all that, I like to talk about technology just as much as Leo, and it is an honor to be sitting here at the Twit Studios and talking from Leo's desk. So I'm going to do my best to answer your questions as well as he would, and let's get right to it. I mean, there's so much going on this week, so much going on. And if you have a question, you are free to call in as well, 1-888-ASK-LEO. That has not changed, 1-888-ASK-LEO. But man, did you see this Amazon stuff this week? Amazon is just, so Facebook consumed the news for the past couple weeks. And now this week, it was all about Amazon. Amazon had their earnings report. They introduced no less than three different features that we'll talk about. But the reality is this company is a force to be reckoned with. It's funny because you used to hear about Walmart all the time. And Walmart was this giant corporation that was sort of doing everything in America, and that was the leader, and you had to follow them, and whatever they did was either good or bad. But now it's all about Amazon. And Amazon is the company to watch because they are the ones that are leading the way with all the innovation, with all the changes, with all the features, with all the new products, with all the new services. And it's tough to keep up with them. And sometimes, you know, when I'm looking at the stories that I'm covering for TV, it's almost like I can mention something about Amazon on a daily basis because they are almost coming out with some kind of new innovation on a regular basis. And this week they had their earnings report. So quarter one revenue, $51 billion. That doesn't mean that they took that much home, but that's how much they made. And they actually made $1.6 billion off of that, which is still pretty good. I mean, any company would love to have that. But the big news that was sort of mixed into the earnings call was that the price of Prime is going up. And this is the thing that most people will find interesting. So if you have Amazon Prime, that's obviously going to give you the two-day free shipping. That's going up, and a bunch of other things as well. I mean, you've got one thing people don't even realize about Prime is that you get free photo storage with that. So unlimited free photo storage. So if you're an Amazon Prime customer, I know you can do Google Photos for that, but at the same time, I always recommend having your photos in two places. So the Amazon Prime Photos app is another way to do that. So think about that. But they're raising the price of Prime now for the first time in 4 years. It's going to go from $99 to $119. Now, I will tell you, I was a Prime subscriber since literally day one. I was living in Shreveport, Louisiana. I was a reporter there, and I heard about this crazy thing where you could get something shipped to your house the second day for free. And it was $79 for the year, I believe. And I just could not believe it. And $79 at the time was a ton of money for something online, you know, because you really didn't spend as much online as you do now. But I took a chance on this. And I was like, you know what? I got to try this out. $79 to get all this stuff shipped to me. And I lived in kind of, you know, a place that didn't have a lot of stores, so Amazon was a very good place to buy stuff. But now it's going up to $119, and that's going to take effect for new subscribers May 11th. So pro tip, you've got about 12 days right now to subscribe to Amazon at the cheaper price if you're thinking of Prime. And I don't know if there's that many of you out there, because so many people have this. I think over like 100 million people. And then new subscribe or existing subscribers on June 16th. So that's when mine will take over. Now, my Prime, which, by the way, my Prime subscription renewal date is like December 26th. So right at the height of the holiday season, when I've spent all my money, that's when I get that charge on my credit card for $99 and now $120. So that's going to hit me hard this year. But this is it. This is like the first time people are probably going to say to myself or say to themselves, do I really want this? How much is this worth to me to have this Prime service? So I did the math on mine, and I kind of figured out how many orders I placed in 2017, 104 orders. So that's 95 cents an order for shipping if you divided up my $99 Prime fee. That's pretty good, I think. If someone was like, hey, I'll do a dollar an order for your second day, that's pretty good. With the new rate of 119, that's going to be $1.14 an order. And again, you're talking super fast shipping. Sometimes I'll get the same day stuff. I don't know how that triggers. I think it's like certain items trigger it over $35 and I can get the same day stuff. And that to me is just unbelievable. To have something on my doorstep that same night that I order in the morning is just, to me, wild. And I think it's wild, but at the same time, sometimes I think, I'm like, well, wait a second. I could drive to the store in 2 hours and buy that myself, instead of waiting till 8 or 9 p.m. when they usually deliver the same day stuff. But it's still amazing. The hassle-free returns, the returns are really easy. That's pretty simple. I use an app called Earnie, so I get money back if any of the prices drop on items I buy on Amazon, which happens all the time, by the way. Earnie.co, I believe, is the website for Earnie. Yeah, if you want to do that. You link your credit card, and if a price drops on Amazon, they'll give you the difference through your credit card purchase protection. And so I just bought a pair of sunglasses the other day for $30. I got an email that they dropped $10. So I saved literally 30% on my pair of sunglasses, 33%, I guess. So I think I'm going to stick with the Prime. I think that's going to be worth it. $119, $20 more a year. And I don't think I'm really going to cancel over that. But I think it gives people a little bit, they're going to notice that fee for the first time, because it's one of the first times you're like, okay, this went up from 79, now it's 99, now it's 119. And I understand that you get a lot of other benefits, like the free music streaming, you get all the Prime Video. I have not personally found a show on Prime Video that I watch. Now, my kids love it. There's a lot of kids programming on Amazon Prime Video. And so, but are those things that I would keep Prime for? No, the thing I keep Prime for is the shipping. And Amazon does an amazing job at that. Now, speaking of shipping, here's another announcement from Amazon this week: in-car delivery. Now, I've not tried this out, but I do have a car that qualifies for this, because my car does have OnStar. So I am tempted to try this, and I think it would be a good alternative to getting packages left on my doorstep. But Amazon in-car delivery. This is part of their Amazon Key program. Now, the Amazon Key program, when that came out, I don't think it was that well received. And I didn't hear the good reception for this one as well, from at least from my folks on my Facebook page. Facebook.com/richontech. I posted this. I said, hey, what do you think of this? Good idea, bad idea? And overwhelmingly, it was bad idea, which you have to have an open mind when it comes to technology, because these ideas are new to us. You have to understand our paradigms are shifting when it comes to technology. We weren't used to having a cell phone in our pocket 24/7, or being available by text all the time, or being able to share moments on Instagram wherever we are. So we have to understand that this stuff takes a little bit getting used to, because it's different. But Amazon now will deliver to the trunk of your car in 37 cities, no extra cost for Prime members. Basically, you link up your car with their app. If you have OnStar, basically, that's the main one. Volvo OnCall is the other. And then you say, yeah, deliver it to my trunk. And you tell them where your car is. They give you a 4-hour expected delivery window. They tell you when your delivery is on your way, and then they tell you when the package was delivered. And the way that they get access to your car is they basically use remote unlock. So if you are familiar with OnStar, you have an app on your phone, you remotely unlock your car, you can get into it because they send the unlock signal through the cellular networks and that unlocks the door of your car. Well, now the driver can do that. I got to try this out. I got to see how this is going to work. That's pretty wild to me. Oh, man. All right. Amazon. All right. You have a question about backing up your stuff. You have a question about the phone. You have a question about your computer. Whatever you want to talk about, I am here. Rich DeMuro in for Leo Laporte today. You are listening to The Tech Guy. Your calls at 1-888-ASK-LEO coming up next. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, in for Leo Laporte today. Thanks so much for listening. We got lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of your calls on the phone, 1-888-ASK-LEO. Call in. You got a question about technology, I'm happy to answer it. And already the phone lines are lit up. Kim Schaffer, what's up? Hold on, let me get Kim on here. Kim, I gotta actually turn on the button that actually brings you up.
Gotta so, go back to those radio days and pop me up.
There you are. Right. Okay, much better. It's better when I can hear you, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, you have to try and read lips, and I'm not sure how good you are at that.
It's funny. I'm not a good lip reader.
Okay. Well, I said welcome back.
Okay. Well, thank you. So, phone lines. Are we getting calls? Are people calling in? Are they wondering who I am?
Some might be. When I say, do you have a question for Rich? They're like, who?
Rich who?
Anyway, but yeah, no, I've got a full board of calls here. So,
okay.
Yeah, go to Alan and Marietta.
So what are these people asking about?
Well, Alan is having a trouble logging into a website that he frequents.
Okay.
And he wants to know if you might be able to help him with that.
Okay. And what else do we have? What are some of the other ones? Give me some options here, Kim.
Bluetooth headphones and Echo. I'm trying to get data off of a disk and the drive failed.
Now, are you ever tempted to answer these questions yourself because you've been listening to the show so long?
There are simple questions that I do answer so people don't have to wait on the line for an hour and a half. But that doesn't happen often. Most of the questions are way over my head.
Okay. Who do you think I should go to first?
How about Alan and Marietta? Line four.
Alan and Marietta, you're on. You're on, Alan.
This is Alan. I'm on line four. I'm awesome. This
hey.
Is great.
Line four is like is a great line to be on. So welcome to the show.
The best line. Thank you so much. I watch you all the time on KTLA.
Oh, thank you.
So here's the issue. I have a website, a work-related website that I log into, and it worked fine for, quite a long time. Then all of a sudden, I went to log into it a couple weeks ago, and I get the background page, but I don't get the actual window with my login name or password. Now, I tried it on Safari, I tried it on Chrome, I tried it on Firefox. Didn't work. It works on my iPhone. It doesn't work on the iPad. It works on my wife's Windows PC. So I'm a little perplexed on what would be blocking that from showing up, because it's just a regular, seems like a regular HTML website. Nothing special about it.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could be. I mean, the first thing I would think of when this happens to me is it's some sort of extension on your browser that is competing with the website. And I've been really frustrated where I'm like, wait, this website just worked yesterday. What's going on? And I realize I kind of dive a little deeper and it has to do with one of my extensions, whether it's my password keeper, whether it's some sort of download extension, whether it's just something that I've installed on my computer that is interacting with that website. Some of them read the JavaScript on the website, whatever it is. That would be number one. Now you're saying that this sort of works on certain devices, like on your iPhone, which makes sense because a lot of times websites will serve up a different version of their website to actually work on the iPhone and to be compatible with that. So I'd say that sounds pretty normal, that it's going to work fine on your phone. The thing that kind of gets me is the fact that it works on your wife's computer, but not on your computer. So are you using a different type of a browser on her computer versus yours?
Let's see. I tried Internet Explorer and it worked. We've got Chrome on there and it worked, and Firefox on there and it worked. So it leads me to believe that there's an issue, like an underlying issue with the Mac somewhere.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'm betting it's probably one of the extensions.
Right. Have you installed anything new on your computer recently? Like any new apps? Anything?
Well, yeah, but nothing, you know, what I could do is I can go back into, disable the extensions. But the thing is, why would it happen on all three browsers? Because some of the extensions are just dedicated,
right,
like Chrome, which I use almost 99% of the time.
Well, right. So that's what I was going to say. So I installed a program on my computer. I was actually testing out a system-wide ad blocker. And so it actually installed at the system level of my Mac. I uninstalled it because it interfered with everything. I mean, I could not believe how many programs just stopped working on my computer. And so I didn't like that. So that in that case, I understand why it would interact with all of your different web browsers. But the fact that it's happening on the various ones leads me to believe that this would somehow be related to Java, and I think maybe an update for that on your computer is in order. So I would say the two things that I would do is I would go on Chrome and I would disable all your extensions. So the way you do that is you go into your settings, you go into more tools, and you go into extensions, and all you got to do is just turn those all off. Okay. And that's the number one thing that I do if I'm ever having any sort of issues with something that's just not working right. Okay. So turn those off and then see if the website works, you know, close out Chrome, reopen it, and then see if the website works. And then you can go in and turn those on one by one. And that way it'll help you figure out, you know, you sort of have to be a troubleshooter here. You got to figure out like, hey, why is this not working? Now, the fact that it's happening across Chrome and Firefox would lead me to believe that you might have the same extension installed on both of those browsers. And by having the same extension, that extension got an update and it is no longer functioning properly. So that would be what I would do. A lot of times when you're into technology, you're a troubleshooter. You're just trying to figure out what is going wrong here. And sometimes it takes pushing a lot of buttons, changing a lot of things to try to figure out what those problems are. 1-888-ASK-LEO if you have a question. 1-888-ASK-LEO. You're listening to Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm Rich DeMuro. I'll be back after this. Welcome back to the tech guy with Leo Laporte. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in for Leo, who is on vacation. Thanks so much for joining me today. We are coast to coast talking about technology, talking about all the great stuff happening in the tech world. And if you have a question, feel free to call in 1-888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-827-5536. TechEyeLabs.com, if you want to see something we mentioned on the show, you don't have to sit there and write it down. Just search for a keyword that you remember. It is all logged on TechEyeLabs.com. And if you want to know more about me, the guy behind the mic today, filling in for Leo, Rich DeMuro, tech reporter at KTLA, you can go to richontech.tv. Joining me now is Scott Wilkinson, our home theater geek. Scott, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Rich. Nice to see you there.
Great to see you, Scott, over at avsforum.com, blogging there. You did something that I think all of America did this weekend, or is doing this weekend.
Planning to do this weekend, yes. I went and saw Avengers Infinity War.
Oh my gosh. And so, man, it's just I don't think I've ever seen a movie with this much publicity or people talking about it.
This much buzz about it.
Yeah,
well, there are a few. Black Panther was one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there have been a few, but this one...
Actually, okay, I take that back. Getting... All the Marvel movies.
Exactly. And this, believe it or not, this is the 10th anniversary of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? It started in 2008 with Iron Man, and there have been... Avengers Infinity War is now the 19th movie set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So what does that mean? That means they're doing about two releases a year?
Yep, roughly.
So it does, because it seemed like they were coming pretty fast and furious, you know? And
Yep.
Okay, so two a year, that's... But the thing is, here's the thing. I would be like, okay, you guys are overdoing it. Except for the fact that when I go to see a Marvel movie, every single time, I am impressed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm laughing, I'm intrigued. I'm just sort of blown away by the effects they use, by the storyline is actually pretty decent most of the time.
Yep.
And so I don't mind that they're coming out with so many of these things, because I know that it's going to be a pretty good treat, a little escape from everyday life, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. That's really what it is.
So talk about this one.
This one's a long one. It's 2.5 hours.
Oh, man.
And because it's the 10th anniversary, I think this was sort of the impetus for doing it. They brought together virtually all of the characters from all of the different branches of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You've got the Avengers, of course. You've got the Guardians of the Galaxy. You've got Spider-Man. And Black Panther, of course. They've all come together to fight this super bad guy whose name is Thanos. And yes, it's got all that stuff you talked about. It's very funny. Lots of one-liners, you know, really beautiful visuals. I found it, though, to be pretty one note. Let's call it a one note samba.
And what does that mean?
Well, it starts at a high anxiety level and it stays there for 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I got a little tired of it, to tell you the truth. I carried it through with, you know, all the jokes and stuff. That was all fun. And the visuals are beautiful to look at. And I saw it in a Dolby Cinema. And I've talked about this on the show before. Dolby Cinema is a very special theater where they project the image onto the screen using something called Dolby Vision, which is a particular type of high dynamic range. So the difference between the deepest black and the brightest white is wider than it is when you go into a conventional cinema.
Okay.
And that really helps the image pop. So it looks beautiful.
That's kind of like what they're promoting with the new Apple TV, and like some of the new phones have that, right?
Correct. Correct. This is now available in the home in several different varieties. You've got Dolby Vision. You've got HDR10. You've got several different ones. In the commercial cinema, the only high dynamic range currently is Dolby Vision. Some might argue that IMAX is high dynamic range, at least IMAX laser projectors. And I would argue that that is true to a certain extent, but Dolby Vision is a wider or a higher dynamic range than that. So that's where I normally go first. If a movie has been graded and prepared, mastered in that format.
How do you figure that out?
You go to my website, avsforum.com, and you look up my list that I maintain of the movies that have been so prepared.
Okay, so you go, because you want to see it. Because here's the thing, now that we live in this world of, there are varying degrees. Like if you go to a movie theater and it's just kind of showing the movie in a regular format, you're kind of missing some of the action on screen. You're actually not seeing it in the way that the filmmaker kind of imagined it.
In a sense, that's correct. Now, you mentioned missing some of the action on the screen, and this is actually an important point here with the Avengers movie, this latest Avengers movie. This is the first Hollywood blockbuster, some big movie, that was filmed or shot entirely with IMAX cameras. And they shot it digitally. They used a camera called the Arri Alexa IMAX. It has a different aspect ratio, and this is the ratio of the width of the image to the height of the image. Now, most of the time when you go to a cinema, including Dolby Cinema, the aspect ratio is, sorry for the numbers, 2.35:1. So it's a very wide image. The IMAX aspect ratio is 1.9:1. So it's a taller image. And it's being shown in IMAX theaters in this taller aspect ratio. So when you go to Dolby Cinema even, or any conventional movie theater, there's going to be some information cut out of that picture. You're not going to see everything the camera captured.
Oh, wow.
If you go to IMAX, however, you will. And so I'm going on Tuesday, believe it or not, I'm going to go see this movie a second time in an IMAX theater, specifically the IMAX at the TCL Chinese Theater, the famous Chinese theater in Hollywood. You know it.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be the Grauman's Chinese, and it changed hands several times. And now it's owned by this Chinese TV company, TCL. And they have a laser illuminated IMAX projector system there. And so I'm going to go see it there because I want to see what is it in the image that I missed when I saw it at the Dolby Cinema. So that's I'm going to report on that. I'm going to add to my report. I've already written my review. It's on avsforum.com, so I recommend people go check that out. No spoilers. I did not put any spoilers in there at all. And there are some big ones that if I were to say them now, people would be really mad.
don't say them. I saw the Star Wars, the latest. What's the one that just came out? Not the Solo. Not the new one.
No.
Yeah, obviously, it's not out yet. Right, I saw the last one and
Last Jedi.
In that theater, in the TCL that you're talking about.
The TCL IMAX.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I saw the Guardians of the Galaxy. I think one and two in there.
Oh, one and two, yeah.
Maybe just two. I can't remember.
Those were hilarious. I just love those.
So great. But I'm not kidding. Like, I really didn't put much stock into the different theaters until I saw whatever they promoted, laser vision or whatever it has. It mm-hmm. really is unbelievably clear. And I saw one of them, or maybe both, in 3D. And I usually kind of, you know, I'm like, kind of
not into 3D
exactly until you see it in this format, and it just is unbelievable. And it really, so the technology has come a long way,
very long way.
I get a little snobby with the movie theaters because I do feel like once you've seen it in this format, you're just like, I don't want that tiny screen anymore. Like when I grew up as a kid, you know, you saw these movies on these screens that were so tiny, and you know, there's something about that. But nowadays, we really have access. Do you think these things are in theaters across America, or is it mainly in the main big cities, or what?
Well, IMAXs are probably only in larger cities. Dolby Cinema, there's about maybe 100 of them or 100 and something around the country. So also on AVS Forum, I maintain a list of those locations. So if you're looking for a Dolby Cinema, go on AVS Forum. You'll find it.
All right. Scott Wilkinson, avsforum.com. Check out his review, Avengers Infinity War. No spoilers. You're listening to The Tech Guy, 8888 Ask Leo. More of your questions coming up next. All right. Good deal, Scott.
Thanks,
we should get together down in LA, have lunch or something.
Let me know when you got some time.
Okay, cool. I'll email you.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, Captain J is asking, is Stan Lee in the movie? Yes, he makes his customary cameo, and it's hilarious.
Welcome back to The Tech Guy with Leo Laporte. Rich DeMuro sitting in for Leo today. Leo is on vacation. Answering your phone calls at 1-888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-ASK-LEO. Let's go right to the phone lines here. We've got Jeannie calling from San Diego. Jeannie, you're on with Rich.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thanks so much for calling in on this Saturday.
So I'm going to disconnect my cable.
Uh-oh. You're one of them? You're a cord cutter?
Yes, I'm going to do it, and I already am hooked up to antenna for my local channels.
Fantastic. I love to hear that since I'm on Fox 5 San Diego down there.
Great, and let's see what else. I do streaming services with Fire Stick, and I want to know what your recommendation would be, my options to replace the cable DVR.
Now that's going to be a tough one because you want to replace your, what do you have right now for your cable?
Cox.
Okay. So you have a full DVR, you've got all your channels and now you're switching. Have you done the switch yet or have you not?
No, I'm planning to do it.
Planning. Okay. Takes a big leap. What's kind of the reason?
Well, I'm tired of the business model that Cox has where every year you have to call and renegotiate your bundle.
I just did that. I just did this with with
I'm
my
just
provider.
Tired of it. I'm just tired of it. And also, you know, you have to have the phone in the bundle.
Right.
And then you have to have so many channels that I don't watch.
Right.
So instead of, you know, charging what I pay or, you know, charging me for what I use, I get charged for a lot of stuff that I don't use, and that doesn't work for me anymore. I just want to watch what I want to watch, and record what I want to watch instead of having to play those games every year.
My mom had a phone line for about 7 years because it was free, so to say, in quotes, right? And I was like, well, why do you have it if you don't use it? And, well, you know, it's free. Well, it's not really free. They tried when I called to get my rate reduced every year. You know, you call every 12 months. They tried to add a phone line. And I'm like, wait a second. I don't need the phone line. I have a cell phone. I don't need a phone. I haven't needed a phone line in, I don't know, 15 years or something like that. Okay, so you want to get that DVR experience with the cord cutting. So here's the thing. Now, when it comes to the service that you're choosing, what service are you looking for your to replace your cable, so to say? Like, are you going Sling? You on DirecTV Now?
Yeah, I have Sling.
So, okay, so Sling does have a DVR functionality. Are you going to get that?
Oh, I haven't tried it, but that would work for the channels, I guess, on Sling.
Right. So what about your locals? So there's a couple things you can do.
Those are on antenna.
Right. So do you want to be able to DVR those as well?
Yes,
okay.
Because I like PBS, and there are things that I want to on the local channels, yeah. Okay.
So since you said you have Sling, I think the number one thing I would recommend is a product from Sling called the Air TV Player. Okay?
Okay.
And this Air TV Player, what it does is it actually integrates, it's a box, it integrates Sling with over-the-air channels. So you actually hook your antenna up to this box. So on one screen, you see all the Sling channels you're subscribed to, and you see your channels from your antenna. And then to take it a step further, they just added DVR functionality for your over-the-air channels in addition to the cloud DVR they have for the channels that you get on Sling. So you see what I'm saying here? It kind of mixes everything all in one. So it's all on one screen, which is really nice. Now, this device is $50, which is not too bad. Usually it's about $130. It depends on the offer. You have to, if you're a new subscriber, they'll give you a cheaper deal, obviously, like a lot of these services. But they just added the beta of the recording over the air, like as in maybe a week or two or 3 weeks ago. So I've been testing it out at my place, and it works. It's not the prettiest solution. This is the thing that I notice when it comes to all cord cutters. It's not the prettiest solution. You are so used to just turning on your TV, turning on that Cox DVR, and selecting a show from your list and playing it, right?
Right.
When you go cord cutter, that is not the workflow anymore. It's going to take a little bit more effort to kind of find your stuff and to play back your stuff, and it may not all be on the same screen all at the same time, and it may not look as pretty. That's just the reality of cord cutting. It's something that drives my wife kind of insane. It's something that even, you know, drives me a little nutty, because I was so used to TiVo back in the day where everything was just in that one list, and it was so nice, right? So it is going to take a little getting used to, but I think you're going to survive. So here's my other solutions if you don't want that. You said you have the Amazon, what do you have, a Fire Stick or Fire TV?
Fire TV, yeah.
Okay. So if you have a Fire TV, that Sling does have the recorder function inside the Fire TV. So if you just have the Sling app, download it to your Fire TV, you can add the DVR functionality and you can DVR all the channels that Sling offers you, okay?
Okay.
Now this leaves your other channels, which is all your over-the-air stuff, right?
Right.
So I'd say the best thing that I've tried for over-the-air recording of DVR is a device called Tablo, T-A-B-L-O. Tablo TV. And again, though, this is going to require a separate device that you purchase. And this is a little box. It's basically a DVR. You hook it up to your TV. You hook it up to your antenna. It records the antenna channels. The trick here is that it actually sends everything through your Fire TV. So it becomes an app on your Fire TV. You don't have to change inputs. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
So that's nice. So you would just basically, the workflow would be you turn on your Fire TV. If you want to watch your Sling channels, you go to Sling. If you want to watch your stuff from over the air, you go to your Tablo app. Now, with all this said, it's not as pretty, because when you start streaming a show, it takes a lot longer. It's got to build up a buffer of that show to kind of deliver it to your Fire TV. Pausing, rewind, all that stuff is there, but it's just not as slick as it is on your Cox DVR. Now,
I realize that.
Okay. So here's what's happened for me, right? I have sort of given up on DVRing shows, and I kind of just watch them as they are on demand, or, you know, I'll watch a lot of Netflix. But it is tough when you look at sort of like a show on a major network. You're really looking at that to be served up on demand, and sometimes you will have to sit through commercials on that.
Yeah.
But those are my recommendations. There's many other things that will do this. There's something called Channel Master, which is, have you heard of that one?
Yes, my antenna guy had recommended a box that they're not making anymore. So I'm on a list for them to send me an email when they come out with a replacement.
Yeah.
So
I mean that's, but I mean the only thing about the, yeah, exactly. So you're looking for a replacement box. So the problem is a lot of these boxes haven't really taken off, because I think people realize that we're all moving to this on-demand world. Everyone, you get into that ease of like what you want. Now and it's just tough to like go back to like this system that's not as good as what you had. The other thing is, I know you said you have Sling, but YouTube TV does have DVR functionality. And where you are in San Diego, they do have a lot of the local channels. So that might be worth looking into, because then that way you don't really need any extra equipment and you get almost all the channels you need as well. Have you looked into that one?
No, I haven't.
And so Sling doesn't really offer the local channels with the DVR, but YouTube TV is one of the few that does. DirecTV Now, I've been a subscriber of them since day one. They've been promising DVR since day one. They have never delivered, and I'm kind of reaching the end of the line with them, because it's like, come on, you can't keep promising this. But what they're promising is a really nice DVR functionality on DirecTV Now. But YouTube TV has had it since day one, and it does let you record your locals. So I think that if I were you, I think that that's my number one choice, is look into DirecTV. I know you said you have Sling, but you kind of have to compare the channels, see if you can get them. But they do have the locals, and I think that that's a big deal, because you can get what you need on YouTube TV and record it.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I've taken notes, and I'll do my research, so I'll be ready when I tell them, you know, goodbye.
And they're going to put up a fight. They're not going to go easy, believe me. It's kind of funny, because when I called for my mom, they at first didn't really want to hear it, until you say the magic words, "I'm going to cancel." And when you say that, usually they'll transfer you to a different department. The retention department is what it's kind of called in most circles. And those are the people that can wheel and deal. And those are the people that are trying to keep you there. But Jeannie in San Diego, great question. Cord cutting on the top of mind for a lot of people. But getting that DVR functionality, not so easy, especially when it comes to those local channels. More of your calls after this. You are listening to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in for Leo. Your calls right after this.
Hey, Rich.
All right.
Great answer. Great answer on that last question.
Thank you.
I don't think I knew about Tableau. While you were talking, I looked it up. It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's I actually feel bad asking them for another one, because... Yeah, I actually feel bad asking them for another one, because they have a new model that just came out. Because I actually...
You mean the 4-tuner?
Yeah. So, because I actually like want to buy one, you know what I mean? Because, and then, you know, so
right.
I don't want to like just be like, oh, I like this. Like, let me review this so I can get one. I don't want to do that. You know what I mean?
No, you don't want to. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
I know that happens a lot in our
it
world.
Does.
So,
Leo is very ethical about that. You know, he buys everything he reviews. So
oh,
he
wow.
says, and I have no reason to doubt him.
Yeah. Well, I don't buy all the stuff that I review for TV, but I do. If I want to use something myself, I do buy it.
Then you'll buy it.
Like I did buy my Fitbit sight on scene a couple weeks ago, and I'm loving this thing. And I didn't even reach out to them, because it was funny, because I didn't reach out to Fitbit because I knew I would want to review it for the show, and I knew I'd want it to keep it. So I was like, I'll just buy it and I'll just review it, and hopefully I'll love it. And if I don't, I'll just return it. But I've fallen in love, so.
There you go.
But yeah, you should check out Tableau. It's very under the radar, and I'm surprised more people don't know about it.
Yeah,
but it really does solve that problem of like the over the airs. But it's expensive. It's $5 a month for just that. I mean, expensive, but it adds up.
Oh, sure it does. I mean, if you've got, you know, you've got your streaming service and your you know, whatever, and then you add this, and I'm a little surprised it wasn't a just a one-time purchase.
Right.
So it does it have a hard disk in it? It records locally?
No, you have to add a hard drive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, but it does record locally.
Yes,
not
it records locally.
Cloud.
Yeah, which is kind of nice. You actually have, and then there's programs that let you rip your programs off there. All right, John's telling me to let you talk, so you talk.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Hey, everybody in the chat room. Good to see you all. Missed you last week, although I was at the Renaissance Fair. Huzzah! So that was a lot of fun. Got to sit in with my old band. That was fun. And Joanna and I just wandered around and had a great old time. Twisted Mister. Yeah, alternatively, you could just get a big antenna and do the Fred Flintstone thing. Good enough. Hey, Loquacious. Good to see you. You bet. Valvy, Men in Tights. Wow. Now you're bringing back memories. I was on that set as well. I spent 2 days on the set of the movie Robin Hood, Men in Tights, in the big fair scene, you know, where everybody comes and they're trying to draw Robin in to do the archery contest. There were 2 days we spent in front of a fake castle, a full-sized fake castle, playing and, you know, jugglers and all kinds of stuff. And I went to see the movie when it first came out thinking, oh, wow, here's my big screen debut. Not a bit of it. The whole thing was on the cutting room floor. They never showed anything, any footage that I was in. Oh, well, I still get residual checks from that, though. For like, you know, $1.50 or, you know, 49 cents, something like that. It was pretty funny. They made me wear a wig that I looked like a golden retriever. I did wear tights, Sybil. In Men in Tights, of course I wore tights. What else would you do? Hey, Cryptex, good to see you. As UJ, no, I didn't do the wave with the audience because I wasn't in the audience. I was out on the field. But I did see everybody had a button and I tried to find one before I was done with that show and I couldn't find one anywhere. Everybody was wearing a button that said, just say nay. That was pretty funny. User 2900. Yeah, maybe in the deleted scenes, maybe it'll on the DVD. Maybe it'll be there. Anyway, so I hope everybody's having a good weekend, a good Saturday. Let's see. Jay, those tights do double duty at the Ren Fair. Well, I was wearing tights at the Ren Fair this last Saturday as well. That's true. I get dressed up. You know, I get into it. If you're going to go to the Renaissance Fair, you want to get into it. I do anyway. I see a lot of people there who aren't. They just come in their street clothes and okay, that's fine. But I really like to get into it, so to speak. Sybil, good to see you. Tech in San Diego, glad to see you here. Anybody has a question for me, I'm happy to talk about it. And yes, Loquacious. Loquacious is an old, well, I shouldn't say old because that's probably not true, but long-time fair attendee or participant, really. I think you were one of the washing wenches. I forget what part you played at the fair. Mike Heiss, yes, they do still have huge turkey legs. No doubt about it. I couldn't find Toad in a Hole, though. They have a food court, essentially, these things where you can go buy different kinds of food and they have giant turkey legs and they have steak on a steak. And I remember when I used to work at the fair, they had steak on a steak and Toad in a Hole. And I don't remember Toad in a Hole. I didn't see that Toad in a Hole this year, so not that I ever would have bought it. UJ, have you had a chance to check out the 2018 TCL 65-inch panel? I haven't, but my colleague Mark Henninger just got it. Just got it like a couple days ago. And I think he already put up a first look. So on AVS Forum, you will see a first look, I believe, of the TCL. So, of course, we're gonna dig much deeper into it. Next week, I'm starting my review of the LG C8 OLED, this year's OLED. Let's see, Beatmaster. Should I feel bad for rubbing hands and waiting for Oppo UHD players to drop in price? No, I wouldn't feel bad. They're going to want to dump their inventory at some point. They're still making product until June. So it's not going to drop in price probably till after that. And there are those, believe it or not, there are those who are buying Oppo players with the intent of reselling them. They think they'll go up in value. I'm not sure I believe that. It is a fine player, and it'll probably hold its value better than most consumer electronics. But whether or not it'll actually go up in value, I don't think it's really a good investment. Oh, Mike Mann says the Tam O'Shanter on Las Feliz has a great toad in the hole. Okay, very good. Jay, no rats on a stick. Juicy tender rats here. Oh, that's funny. Let's see. Web 909, do you know of a portable USB 3 output Blu-ray UHD HDR Dolby Vision player? Portable? No, I do not. Maybe there is one, but I don't know of one.
Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro in for Leo Laporte, who's on vacation. Your calls at 1-888-ASK-LEO. 1-888-827-5536. Free call from anywhere in the U.S. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind when it comes to technology. You have a pressing question about that phone in your pocket, that TV you got, that computer that never seems to work right, or anything else. Maybe you're deciding between two gadgets. You want to know which one's better. That's usually me. I'm always looking at the specs and kind of checking out all the little details. And thankfully, with my job, you know, I can actually get these things sent to me so I can go a little hands-on and figure out if they're worth the money for the rest of you. That's what I do. I'm the tech reporter at KTLA, Channel 5 in Los Angeles, and I kind of look at this tech stuff for a living. It's great. I mean, there's so many things that are coming out that are cool, but it's like, is it worth my money? And a lot of times nowadays, not only does it require the initial investment, it requires some sort of cloud investment as well. So you buy that video doorbell, and next thing you know, they want $30 a year for the video service for that doorbell. All right, we got some people on the phones here. Let's go to CJ. CJ is on the phone in Whittier, California. CJ, what's going on?
Sir, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Great. So my question is this. I recently fell in love with the 4K HDVDs, and I have an Xbox that plays with that. My question is, I know it doesn't play with my LED TV, so I have to go get one. But down the road, at the end of the year, are those 4K HDTVs going to be obsolete, or will they just get better? And should I buy one during Black Friday, or should I just buy the bullet now and get one now? So I'm kind of torn between when to get it and what kind I should get.
So you fell in love with ultra 4K discs, basically, like discs. And
yeah.
Why? What happened there? You watched one at someone's house or what?
Yeah, I saw it at somebody's house, and I usually I saw they're playing Dark Knight, and I said, "Holy crap!" I go, "That's amazing, and incredible." So I automatically think, "Okay, I gotta look into it." You know, and I found that my Xbox does play it, but it doesn't. The TV that I have, the LED Westinghouse I got 4 years ago for myself for Christmas, doesn't play that.
Right.
So
yeah, it's not going to support it.
I want to have to go and exchange the TVs, but I'm trying to think down the road, will they be obsolete down the road like they did with the 3D TVs, or, you know, what should I do with it? That's my question, basically, in a nutshell.
Well, here's the deal. So 4K is not new at this point. I mean, it's the TV that everyone's buying when they purchase a TV, because that's the standard at this point. It's been around for a little bit. I don't think it's going away, and I don't think we're going to see the switch over to 8K anytime soon. I think that everyone just got into this 4K world, so we're going to stay there for a while. And I think that most people are happy with HD. And you know, when they want to get a new TV, they go with a 4K model because that's what's available. And yes, they still sell some HD TVs, but the reality is the 4K has pretty much gotten to be a standard at this point. Now, when it comes to 4K content, that's where we're not standardized yet. So the problem is we're not really seeing like a lot of these players, like the Chromecast, they have a 4K version. Fire TV is 4K. Apple TV just came out with their 4K. And these discs that we get, these DVDs that are, you know, Blu-rays that are 4K now, I don't see those very long for the world. So that's kind of your question, and I think that's my answer. I feel bad saying that, but the reality is we live in a streaming economy now, and people are streaming everything. And you can get that stream in 4K. You can get that stream in 4K HDR. I was just at an Apple event watching a 4K HDR presentation on a TV, and it looked phenomenal. And I think that that's where we're headed. So to answer your question, the discs are going to be around for a little bit, but they are not a growth market anymore. UHD discs, they're just not, if you go into a Best Buy, you don't see a lot of retail space dedicated to discs anymore. And so, yes, you can buy these things on Amazon and online places. And yes, you're going to get, I would think Scott would answer this better, but I think you're going to get a better bit rate from those discs. And I think the quality of the picture is going to be the absolute best from a disc versus streaming. But streaming has gotten pretty close for I would say 99.9% of people who are not videophiles or audiophiles. The streaming in 4K and 4K HDR is going to be fantastic. So if I were you, I would definitely upgrade the TV. I would go with a 4K. Right now, the main thing is you probably want the Dolby and the HDR. Those are the main standards that you want to look for on your TV. And that way you can interface with the most content at this point. What's going to change in the future could be anything. But I think that we've kind of settled into these two main standards or three main standards that most people are talking about. And most of the content is supporting at this point. So that would be my recommendation. And when it comes to the actual TVs, that is going to be based on your budget. Because if I was to recommend the best TVs, I'd probably say go with the Sony. But those are going to be the most expensive. But if you want the most value, the most bang for your buck, I would say a Vizio or a TCL is going to do that for you. If you want something that's right there in the middle, LG, people love those. And the Samsungs are fantastic as well. So it's a tough question. When it comes to TVs, budget is really the number one thing. And to me personally, I don't want discs. I don't even have a player that can handle discs. You said you had an Xbox, which I understand is a good way of playing these things. But the reality is the discs are not kind of the future. Even when I get a disc, the first thing I do is I just take that code from it and pop it into my phone so I can get the digital copy of the movie. So I hope that helps, CJ, but I think that I think you're okay in buying a 4K TV now. I don't think you need to worry about the standards changing too much in the next year or so, 2 years. And really, when you buy a TV, it probably is going to last you a good 4 years. So I think if I were you, it's April. You said Black Friday. I think you'll be just fine on Black Friday, and things will be at very good prices during Black Friday. So that would be my recommendation. Great call. Great question. But when you see this stuff in 4K, man, it is amazing. And even on my Apple TV 4K, the movies that they keep launching, like even movies that I've purchased in the past, I'm not going to rewatch them because I'm not that kind of person. But when I kind of pop them on just to see the clarity and everything, it really is amazing. Even older movies that you think weren't made this way still look pretty fantastic. All right, Brian in Indio, you're on with Rich. Brian.
Yeah, hi, Rich. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I got a little question about I just got some Bluetooth headphones for my Echo.
Okay.
And my Echo is also hooked up to the Kinect, so I use it as a phone. And whenever a phone call comes in, the Bluetooth headphones disconnect.
Hmm. They're not playing nice, huh?
Well, they work great to listen to music.
So why do you want to get your calls through there? Is it just easier?
Well, yeah, when I'm listening to music, which is pretty much almost all the time.
So as soon as I see what happens, so you're listening to music. Are you listening to the music from your Echo?
Yeah.
Interesting. And as soon as you get that call in, it just drops it.
Well, no, the call stays. The call is there, but the headphones disconnect.
Interesting. I'm thinking this is a software issue on the Alexa. I think that the software is primarily made for the music transfer. And when that call comes in, it's kind of tripping up the software on your Echo. And I think that's the reality. I think that hopefully it'll be fixed with a software update. But if it's connected, I would try unpairing everything and then just repairing it to see if that works. Thanks so much for the call. 1-888-827-5536. 1-888-ASK-LEO. You're listening to The Tech Guy, Rich DeMuro, sitting in today for Leo Laporte. We'll take more of your calls at 8888-ASK-LEO right after this. Welcome back to The Tech Guy with Leo Laporte. Rich DeMuro sitting in for a vacationing Leo. We're taking your calls, 1-888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-827-5536. Call in with your questions about technology and anything that's bugging you when it comes to your gadgets, or maybe you need a recommendation, or you're trying to get some help with something that's just frustrating, or maybe you want to recommend something to me, maybe something that you're loving lately that you think everyone else wants to hear about, some of your experience with something. 8888-ASK-LEO is the number to call. Let's go now to Silverado Canyon, California. Daryl.
Daryl, you're on with Rich. Rich. Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm trying to help my daughter and son-in-law with a problem they have with a hard disk drive that the bearing went bad.
Oh, is it grinding?
No, they couldn't get it. It was down. The whole system couldn't be brought up or anything. And so they took the drive out and took it because my daughter has a lot of pictures on there that she wants to recover, and she doesn't have the backup on them. And they took it to one place, and they were so expensive, they gave her a price that was just really way too expensive. And so they took it to another place, and now this place came up with it and said, well, it had a seized bearing in it. So what we did is we swapped the platters out into an identical body and then brought it up. And now they get a report that says that terminal port is telling us that it has the wrong board. And they're saying that they took the board out of the one that was given to them and put in this other body. But so they're almost sure that it's the board that was given to them. But they said also that they need to have the original ROM. So what they're saying is, for them, if they can figure out how to get the original board or a copy of the original ROM. So we have the Seagate drive number, and we have the last four digits of the serial number, but I don't know that much about what, you know, how that functions and everything, but they've got it turning up, but now their software that they use to read it, they said they spoke to the developer of the most powerful tool that they have, and they say that they're going to have to get the original ROM or the original board.
How, and this is a Seagate drive?
It is a Seagate drive, yes.
And how much have you paid into this so far, this process?
You know, I'm not sure how much they paid into it. I didn't get that information from her as to how much they were going to charge for this, but the first company charged them like, I think it was $100 or $150 or something for just what they did.
And just then, to say they couldn't do it?
No, they said they could do it, but it was way too expensive. They didn't want to spend that much, or they didn't think they would have to. It was something like a couple thousand dollars.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's okay, well.
So that's why they took it to this other company. But now it looks like somehow the original board didn't come with it, come back with it.
So it sounds like, and this is a Seagate drive?
Yes. So, yeah, that's correct.
To me, it sounds like you got to get in touch with Seagate and figure. And I don't. Here's the deal: if this company that is purporting to save the data off this drive, I'm confused as to why they don't understand the problem here. That's my first concern, because they're telling you to do this. I don't understand why you would do this. You're bringing it to them to do this work. So that's my first concern. So you might want to look into a different company. I personally would go to Yelp. I wouldn't do this myself. It doesn't sound like you're at a place where you can do this yourself anymore, but I would go to Yelp and I would find the top rated data recovery in your area and bring it to them, because it sounds like something is odd here. I don't understand why they would be asking you to get the new board for this hard drive or any kind of software. It's something that they would do in their process of fixing this. Data recovery is not something that the average person is able to do in an easy way. There are apps out there, there are programs out there, but if you're talking about something that's very important, you probably want to leave it to a pro. My theory on this kind of stuff is that I would not want to do something myself that I do once a year or once every 5 years when a pro is doing it every day. Let the pro do it because they've seen it all before. I think it's odd that this place is asking you to do anything because you brought it to them. So it sounds like, first off, you got to get in touch with Seagate to figure out what sort of software you need to run the BIOS on this hard drive, which sounds odd, but I would do that. And the second thing is backup, backup, backup. This is the reason why I literally have 15 copies of my photo collection to varying degrees all over my house on so many different hard drives, because I do not want this to ever happen. And it has happened to me. I've had hard drives fail. And if you've ever had one fail, they make a sound that you never want to hear, right? They make a grinding sound that is just the sound of hard drive data death, and it's not fun. So I always back up. You want to back up your stuff. Have it in several places. Have it on a secondary hard drive. Have it on a external cloud backup service, and then, of course, on your original drive. And that's going to keep something like this from happening. I don't know what kind of pictures these are, but they're clearly photos that you don't want to lose. And the good news is with a regular hard drive versus a flash drive is that you can recover things more easily. If it was a flash drive, it'd be a lot tougher to recover this stuff, if at all. So I think you're on the right path, but I think you need a new recovery company, because it's odd that they're coming back to you for this information. That would be my opinion. But I really do hope you can figure this out, Daryl. Thanks so much for the call. That is, again, number one thing, you always want to back up your stuff. And I don't want to harp on it, but it's just one of these things you always think, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to be a big deal. But data recovery is not cheap, nor is it an easy process. And you don't want to find yourself in that situation. So get a cloud recovery service, get a cloud backup service, and just back up those photos. Something as simple as on your iPhone, install Google Photos or Flickr or any one of the apps, iCloud, turn it on and use it, and pay the extra buck if you're out of space. 8888 Ask Leo. 8888 Ask Leo. Is this Larry?
It is. How are you? Is this Rich?
This is Rich. What's going on? I'm confused by your question, so explain it to me better.
If you're confused, I'm in real trouble now. We just launched a new app, and we're using a mid-size host on it, and we're using a virtual VPS, and that VPS is doing double duty as a web server and an application server.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if it behooves us to move over to a bigger server like AWS. And maybe separate these as an application server and a web server, because the app uses user-generated content. And sometimes on the user-generated content, the upload speeds with the content is varied a little bit. And we don't know if it's a server that's giving us some grief or its connectivity. I can be standing inside a retail store trying to do uploads, and one day it's going up as fast as you click the buttons, the next day it's, you know, kind of slow. So we don't know where the bottleneck is at for uploading content.
I bet you, yeah. I'd say I would go with AWS because I mean I don't know much about what you're talking about because I haven't done this personally, but just the way it sounds, there is a bottleneck, and the fact that you can that you're doing user gen content, I think that it sounds like you want to go with these things in a separate way and not the same. That's my initial thought. So I didn't want to leave you hanging on there, but that's I don't think.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, you maybe Leo needs to delve in this a little bit. You're familiar with GasBuddy, the app, correct?
Yes. Is that the app you're talking about?
Well, we're a very similar app. We've actually talked to GasBuddy and dealt with them on some issues. We have an app called Get Cheap Beer.
Oh, wow.
It shows the price of beer in a geolocation. It's uploaded by users.
That's a great idea. I love that idea, actually.
Let's talk about it on air. We launched about a month ago, and we're launching in Phoenix. And right now, we've got over 3,000 posts in the last month of people. And we have a cash reward, which each week, the person with the most upload posts of beer prices in the store wins $100. At the end of the 12-week cumulative, $500. And we just issued the first $500 reward to one of the guys who has been uploading for us for the last month over in Phoenix. So
I think I'm getting that you should use this on the show Know How here on Twit. Have you heard of that show?
No.
Yeah.
I don't listen to Leo. I don't listen to nobody else. God,
I'm getting told to email padre@twit.tv, and I think that would be a question that they would deep dive into real well there.
Padre@twit.com?
.tv.
.tv. That's Leo's channel, isn't it?
Yep. That's it. Yep.
And padre@twit.tv.
Yeah. And I think you'll get some good play on there. Because it's funny. I mean, I think it's interesting. I don't know if it's something that I'm going to address on the show, on radio, but I find it really fascinating. So I think
if you have a chance to download the app, you'll take a look at it. We've got a broad span right now. It's showing all the posts all over. We've actually had posts from Australia and England and Canada, every place. But you'll see all the posts that are in there. It's all interactive. You know, it's all geolocated. It's all pictures and prices of beer.
I'll download it.
Chance, take a look, see.
Get cheap beer. Okay.
Let me know what you think. We can always. All right. Take care.
All right, Larry. Thank you. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro in for a traveling Leo Laporte. And I'm assuming Leo got a lot of his travel tips from this guy, our next guest, Johnny Jett. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, and I hope Leo's having fun in Japan.
Did you give him some tips on what to do over there?
I gave him some, but you know that guy he does all right on his own.
I've been following his Instagram, and man, he is doing it all over there. So he is Japan is one of those places that's just amazing to travel and visit, and it's just fantastic. So
for sure.
He is enjoying it.
For sure. And a couple of tips I gave him, by the way, was that you can get a free tour guide in Japan if you contact the tourism board. We talked about it on Leo's show, but a lot of people don't know that. You can get a free tour guide by a volunteer, and they do a really incredible job. And I can tweet it out, and you can put it in the show notes, but I mentioned it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a tour from a local, too. Where are you? Where in the world is Johnny Jett?
So I always try and have Leo guess where I am. I don't know if you can see from the window. Does that give me?
I'm thinking Hawaii.
That's a good guess. I'm actually in Florida.
Okay. See, I saw some like sand and plants out the window there.
Yes,
and it definitely
Hutchison Shores.
Where is it?
Hutchison Shores Resort and Spa, which is near Jensen Beach.
Okay.
An hour north of West Palm Beach.
Okay, I was going to say, what airport do you fly into for that? That's how I know everything.
Palm Beach would be best, but last night I was flying in from – I had to speak in Richmond, Virginia yesterday, and we flew into Fort Lauderdale, and our flight got diverted.
Oh, no.
And then we had to go to Fort Myers and then wait on the ground, refuel, and go back because of the thunderstorms. But anyway, we made it, and it's a beautiful place. And now I'm here to talk about how to, you know, save people some money.
So, man, number one question I always get is how to find cheap flights. So
yes.
I'm sure it's the top question. Now, here's a funny thing about this. Everyone always has this myth of Tuesday. Like, literally, everything happens on Tuesday. That's right. A magical day. Now, I get that it's a cheap day because think about it. Everyone wants to travel on Friday through Sunday, right?
Right.
So I get why Tuesday is like this cheap myth day. But tell me, tell me, what are your tips? I mean, what is the deal with Tuesday, number one?
Well, Tuesday is one of the cheaper days to fly. Tuesday and Wednesdays and Saturdays. But, you know, the old myth is that people would say, you know, try and book a flight either at 3 p.m. or 12 p.m.
Right.
12 midnight on Tuesdays because that's in the old days, that's when the airlines used to load inventory.
Okay.
But a lot of days, still these days, the airlines do release some sales, but it's not true that that's the day that you will find the cheapest flights. So what I recommend, by the way, one of the things I tell people to do is set a fare alert. And Google does a great job at, you know, pretty much everything these days. And one of the things they can do is if you go to the Google flights and you can put in your city pairs, your dates, and then you can say track flight prices and just turn that on, whatever when you're looking for, if you're looking for an individual flight or if you're looking for, you know, those two city pairs. And they will alert you when the fare is going to drop or even go up. And so I actually bought my – I already bought my tickets for New Year's next year, and I bought them 2 months ago.
Wow. And where's Johnny Jet going on New Year's? Can you reveal
that's
that?
A secret.
Okay,
that's a secret.
I figured. I thought I was going to get it out of you though.
Yeah. No, actually, I will tell you. We always go to Hawaii for New Year's.
Okay. That sounds amazing. Google Flights is fantastic for this, and I have I watch my flights on there, and it is crazy to see how often flight prices change. I've been watching a flight. I go back to Newark a lot for from New Jersey, and it's unbelievable. I mean, ping pongs from today. It was $380, which has been the lowest it's been in like 6 months. Yesterday it was $562. The day before it was $470. I mean, these things really change for the same exact flights.
For sure, and you know what? So one of the tips is usually don't buy too far in advance. So the flight that I bought. The reason why I bought it, because I bought first class flights that were just a little bit more expensive than coach. And I knew they were not going to drop any more than that. So that's why I jumped on it. But if I was flying coach, I might have waited. So you always figure out if it's a good deal or not. But sometimes, you know, 21 days in advance, you usually want to book at least 21 or 14 days in advance. When you start getting closer, you know, chances are the flights prices are going to go up. That's it all depends on where you're going.
Well, that's also when they know kind of the business travelers that are, you know, I travel for business usually. You're going a week in advance, you know, and they know that, so their prices are going to be the highest.
That's why they try and gouge you.
It's all algorithms now. I mean, these algorithms kind of figure everything out automatically.
Yeah, and that's a problem with the business travelers, because in the old days, business travelers would almost always get upgraded. Now, because of all these algorithms and things, you know, they've learned to just have the certain amount of seats on first class. They've taken some out. They've also now offered really cheap flights upgrades or even cheap first class tickets. I actually just bought – we're going to New York in a few days, and I just bought a ticket to go from New York to L.A. in business class for just a little bit more than coach. But we have to leave early in the morning on a weekend.
Right.
So no one wants to do that. No business traveler wants to do that. So that's why you have to be flexible. If you want to fly cheap flights, be flexible no matter if you want to fly coach or business class. And that's the biggest tip I can tell people. You know, use your vacation days wisely. Pull the kids out of school by a day or two, and you can save 40-50% depending on time of year and where you're going.
Yeah, especially if you're buying, you know, like you just said, the family thing. You know, if you're buying four tickets like I am, if you save $200 on each ticket, that's $800. That is a
big
significant
time.
Amount of money. That you can
big
spend.
Time.
I mean, that when we went to Cabo a couple years ago, and you know, with the family, and we saved, I think, on our tickets a certain, probably about $800. I said that's almost food for the whole week.
Yeah, without a doubt. Also, look at alternate airports. So, let's say you're coming down here where I am in South Florida. You know, a lot of people think, oh, Miami, but don't just look at Miami. Look at the alternate airports near here and wherever you live. So, if you live in Southern California like we do, you know, instead of just LAX, although LAX is usually cheaper, but you could look at Long Beach, Burbank, even John Wayne Airport. And almost every major city in the world has alternate airports. So, always check those. And, you know, other tips on how to save money is you can consider making a stop. I prefer not to make a stop, but always see if there's a big difference, because sometimes it could be. But especially if you're traveling with a family of four, if you're saving a couple $100 to make one stop, it might be worth it. But if you're a business traveler, it's not worth it.
Well, I don't want to make a stop with my family, though. That's the thing. It's like I feel like these airlines know. It's like they know that, okay, you're flying with two kids. You just want to get there. So I understand that. I'm looking at the stop as, you know, $80 cheaper times four, $320 I can save. But then I got to get off the plane. I got to, you know, now I got to buy my kids stuff in the airport when we land. So they see that pretzel that's, you know,
that's right.
What's the Cinnabon that they waft the scent in. So, of course,
exactly.
Dad wants that. So now I just spent $80 at the airport.
Right. So $380 wouldn't be worth it, because if there's a delay and you have to spend a night in a hotel, you know, you're going to lose that. But, you know, some layovers will save you $500 per ticket. Again, it all depends on where. And, you know, another thing is to look at Southwest. You know, you won't find Southwest on Google Flights, although you can't – actually, they'll show up sometimes, but you can't book it through them.
Right.
But Southwest gives you two free checked bags. So if you are checking bags, especially family travelers, you know, you could save $120 round trip on a ticket.
Is there any reason to be, you know, to follow these frequent flyer programs and kind of quick on this one because I don't have too much time, but is there a reason to be in those anymore? Or because, I mean, you got to fly so much to even get anything.
Agreed. So always sign up for them because you will get something. But, you know, unless you're flying 100,000 miles a year, like a lot of business travelers, it's really not worth sticking to one airline. Just fly whatever's cheaper, whatever is direct, and whatever has better times.
Yeah, I've noticed when I'm flying, when I'm looking for my flights, I'm United. So I'm like, wait a second, this flight is literally $200 cheaper, but I'm sticking to United for what, you know? So I'm actually over every flight, you're paying more times, let's say you fly 7-8 times a year, you just paid $1,400 more for what? You know, I mean, a little extra seat if you get it, you know, the expanded
for
room.
For sure. Yeah, no, I mean, we flew yesterday from Richmond to Fort Lauderdale, and I usually fly American, and they wanted us to fly through Charlotte. I'm like, I'm not doing Charlotte. So I booked JetBlue nonstop to Fort Lauderdale, and, you know, it's fine. It's actually – it wouldn't have been much more money, and it saves us a lot of time. So I always say now just book whatever's quicker, and that will save you money.
All right, Johnny Jet calling in today from Florida. Thanks so much for joining us, johnnyjet.com. Check out his articles. Especially on how to save money on your flights. We're going to have more of your questions after this. 8888 Ask Leo, 8888 Ask Leo. Rich DeMuro in for Leo Laporte today. Now, are you on our assignment here? What's going on? Are you reviewing this hotel?
I'm covering this hotel, and I'm surprised. I just surprised my dad. He lives right nearby here, so I try and visit him once or twice a month.
That's awesome. I love it. All right. Good to talk to you. And I know I told Scott this, but I know you're in LA too. So when you're in town, we should actually, you know,
I'll be there for like the later part of June and July, most of July. Okay. So that'd be great.
I will email you.
Take care.
All right. Have a good vacation or, a trip. I don't know what it is for you. It's all of the above.
That's right. Take care.
See you later. Welcome back to The Tech Guy with Leo Laporte. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in for Leo today. You can learn more about me at richontech.tv. I'm the tech reporter for KTLA 5 News in Los Angeles. Taking your calls today at 888-827-5536, 8888-ASK-LEO. Now, earlier I mentioned that Amazon Prime, now at $120 a year, I didn't have anything to watch on there. And Ralph, you have a show recommendation for me.
Yes, yes. It's called the I Am Second Voyage Crossing the Atlantic.
Now, what is that? That sounds amazing. I love the Titanic. Is it anything like that?
Yeah. Well, you remember when Amazon started off with some real, you know, rough footage of real live dangerous things?
When Amazon did?
When Discovery. I'm sorry.
Oh, Discovery. Yeah. So it's like that?
This is the true live story of two brothers crossing the Atlantic Ocean in the smallest powerboat that's ever crossed the Atlantic Ocean in the history of the world.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds so scary.
It can run through 2 inches of water and can handle gigantic waves.
And tell me the title again.
It's cool.
Tell me.
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing you.
What's the title again of the show?
I Am Second Voyage.
I Am Second Voyage. And this is streaming for free on Amazon Prime.
Correct. It's actually 11 episodes.
Okay.
It's about two brothers. In all fairness of disclosure, I'm Ralph Brown, and it's about Ralph Brown and Robert Brown.
This is you in the show?
Yes.
Get out of here. Oh, my gosh. Talk about burying the lead. So
yes.
You crossed.
We crossed.
This is amazing.
It was in honor of John Harvey, George Holmes, and Dewey Johnson, the three U.S. Marines that gave their lives in Operation Eagle Claw in 1980.
Wow.
And I was on standby for that mission. And so I didn't go, but they went, they died. And so I kind of wanted to make sure they're not forgotten.
So you did the same journey that they took. This is amazing. Two brothers taking a 21-foot flats boat designed for shallow water fishing, 8,312 miles from Florida up into the Arctic Ocean and over to Europe. This is amazing. All right, well, I will stream this. So there's season one and season one, how many episodes? Let's see. There's
11 episodes.
11 episodes, and it just came out January 30th, so it's relatively new.
Yes.
All right.
Season two will be the same two brothers going after the world speed record in a boat. Fastest powerboat to go around the world in the history of mankind.
This is great. Okay, so now... this is it. Now you just, Ralph, you just got me with my Amazon Prime. This is worth it. because what you did is no easy feat. And I think that's worth the $119 a year for me to watch this.
Everybody that's watched it tells me they just absolutely love it.
Oh, man. I mean, it's one of those shows that you just, it's one of those things that the best shows are the kind of stuff that you can never imagine in your life. And this sounds like something for me. So I will watch it. Thanks so much for the recommendation. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And you just gave us all something to watch on Amazon Prime.
All right, thank you so much. And pay attention for Cup Royale.
All right.
Race around the world.
Stay safe out there.
All right. Have fun. I listen to Leo's show anyhow.
Awesome.
I just heard you guys on it. So anyways, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate that. Ralph in Florida. Again, the show is I Am Second Voyage. All right. Let's go to Anthony in Carpinteria. Anthony? Anthony, you're on with Rich.
How you doing, Rich? Yes, I listen to you guys every weekend. I drive up to San Luis Obispo, and I just have a quick, simple question with maybe you could answer it with your expertise. I was told that Apple, of course, was supposed to be the best device to go along with my TV, and I figured that all the TVs that we buy today are smart TVs. So what would be my advantage or disadvantage to going with Apple, that little black box, I guess, that sits along with alongside your equipment?
Apple TV is what you're referring to. And great question, because I get this question a lot. People say, I've got a smart TV. Why do I need a set-top box, right? Why do I need an Apple TV? The one you're referring to is the Apple TV 4K, which is the one that I have. And it's fantastic. It's starts at it's about $200. So I think it's 180 for the lower gigabytes, which I think is 64, and then 200 for the upper gigabytes, which is the one you want. So 32 gigabytes is 180, 64 is 199. So if you're just streaming regular everyday stuff, you probably only need 32 gigs, but for 20 extra bucks, I'd go with the 64. So why do you need this if your TV is a smart TV? Here is the number one reason why. The apps are better on a dedicated device. The apps are updated more on a dedicated device. When you buy a smart TV from Samsung or from LG or from Vizio, they all have the apps on there, right? You want to have the latest, greatest, best, and you also want things that are updated frequently. When it comes to these TVs, they are in the TV business. They're not necessarily in the amazing software business. Apple TV is in the amazing software experience and hardware business. So they're going to give you the best experience. Now, Apple TV 4K is just one of a million different devices out there that I'd recommend. At this point, Apple TV 4K probably has the most selection of things on it, but I also like my Chromecast 4K. People love that because it's simple, it works with a lot of stuff, it's very flexible, and it's pretty cheap. The other thing that I like is the Fire TV from Amazon. And the Fire TV is really nice, kind of a totally different interface than the Apple TV, because the Fire TV is really trying to sell you stuff at all times. When you log into the Fire TV, the screen just has a lot of things going on. It's going to show you shows from the services that you subscribe to. It's going to show you new things that are on Netflix, new things that are on Amazon. It's going to show you ads. So there's like a lot going on the Amazon Fire TV screen. But I like that one as well. And you can't really beat the price. Amazon Fire TV is pretty cheap. Those are my reasons. So if you have a smart TV, I tell people don't look for a smart TV because I don't think you need it. I don't think you need a smart TV. And if you have a smart TV, I still think you need one of these boxes because the experience you're going to get from the box is going to be better. There's going to be a better selection of apps. You're going to have a better remote control. You're going to have better overall experience, and you're going to get new features faster than you would on a TV. And so personally, I'm using the Apple TV 4K. I'm not in love with it. I think it's great. I don't think it's the best thing out there in the world. I think that it has a lot of things I like about it, and simplicity is number one. My kids use it. They know how to use it. They can select their shows. Number two, every single app is on there, including YouTube. And the one caveat with YouTube on this Apple TV 4K is that you don't actually get you don't get 4K YouTube on here, which is kind of a bummer. So all the rest of the apps, a lot of them you do get, like Netflix, you get 4K, Apple stuff, you get 4K, but you don't get 4K YouTube. Now on the Fire TV, they used to have 4K YouTube, but they just pulled their support for YouTube, or YouTube pulled it, one or the other. And now you have to access YouTube through a web browser, which is just fine. And that's one more advantage of the Apple TV, or the Fire TV versus the Apple TV, is that you do have a web browser. So you can actually download Firefox like you would on your desktop computer and surf the web on your Fire TV from Amazon. And the advantage of that is basically if something is streaming online somewhere, you can pretty much watch it. Or you can surf the web on there, which I don't really see why you'd want to surf the web on your TV. There's like one or two use cases for that, but otherwise not necessarily something you need to do. But again, the smart TVs are good, but they're not great. They're more, I'd be more interested in the picture quality on my TV and worry about getting a box for it. So Roku, clearly another contender out there. People love Roku because it's sort of a, what do they call it? The Switzerland of streaming devices. It doesn't really have a lot of beefs with a lot of people. Everything just sort of works on there. And there was a time when Apple TV didn't have Amazon programming, and that was my biggest problem with the Apple TV, but they just added Prime, the Prime app, a couple months ago, so we did get that functionality. So at this point, if you really want everything, including Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, DirecTV Now, all the major streaming services are pretty much on the Apple TV 4K. Like I said, the only downside is that you don't get your YouTube in 4K. And now that they added Movies Anywhere, which if you're not familiar with that, it's a service that lets you connect all the movies that you've purchased among these different services. Like you can link them up. So if you bought movies on Vudu or iTunes or Amazon or Google Play, you can now watch them all in one app. And that's called Movies Anywhere. And you can download that to Apple TV. So all the movies that you bought on Amazon now work on your Apple TV. All the movies you bought on Vudu work on your Apple TV. That's called Movies Anywhere. Definitely check it out if you have not downloaded that. Fantastic little app because it has merged all these streaming services where I had my movies in different places. So Anthony and Carpinteria, thanks so much for the call. Hopefully that answered it. I think you'd be better served with a box. You're listening to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro in for Leo today. More of your questions at 8888 Ask Leo in just a bit. Rich DeMuro having a blast filling in for Leo, but let's toss to the man himself, Leo Laporte, for a special message.
First of all, let me thank you, Rich, for doing the show, our podcast today, and the radio show, Rich DeMuro on KTLA. He's great, isn't he? Don't be too good, okay? Just do me a favor. I did want to stop by, take a little time off from my vacation to tell you about Texture. It is so awesome. Texture is basically Netflix for magazines. Imagine if you could, subscribing to more than 200 of the best magazines in the world, fresh issues every month or week if it's a weekly like The New Yorker, for less than the cost of like a couple of magazines on the newsstand, much less than a subscription. That's Texture. It's like Netflix for magazines. They say the first magazines, I love magazines, by the way. The first magazines came out in the 1700s. This is the first time since then that really there's anything new in the magazine business, Texture. It lets you read magazines on your iPad, your smartphone. I have to say, it makes the iPad the perfect travel device. Before I left for Japan, you better believe I loaded it up. What is fun about Texture is you get access to all the magazines. You know, your subscription gives you access to every one of them. And so there's lots of magazines you might not even, wouldn't even consider buying a copy of. And yet having like the Billboard Hot 100 is fabulous. Brides Magazine, I don't know why I would want to look at that, but if I did, I have it. Advertising Age, Ad Age is a great magazine, all about advertising. I don't subscribe, but it's great to have those articles. And then, of course, there's the must-read articles. Every month there's something in Rolling Stone or Vanity Fair or The New Yorker that I just have to read. And that's why I love it. The Atlantic, Time Magazine, PC Magazine, they're all in there, National Geographic. And let me tell you, if you're a photo buff as I am, when you look at the photography in National Geographic or Shutterbug and you zoom in on it, it's so much better than the printed version. You're seeing a much higher quality image. You can really pixel peep this stuff. It looks great. With Texture, you get unlimited access to over 200 top magazines. You get back issues in a single app. You get bonus features you can't get in print, like video. Easy to read. Every page that's in the newsstand, all the back issues, and if you sign up right now, a free 7-day trial. Go to Texture, TextureUre.com/twit. Start your free trial. Texture.com/twit. Start reading the latest issues of your favorite magazines today. I literally favorite about a dozen, and then they're automatically downloaded the minute they come out. So I always have great stuff to read on Texture. And, of course, it's quick to download a new magazine if you say, oh, I want to read that. They have some curated sections that are fantastic that let you find new stuff all the time, topic matter that you might be interested in, that kind of thing. Texture, TextureUre.com/twit. We thank Texture so much for their support of the Tech Guide. Now back to Rich DeMuro.
I'm Rich DeMuro, sitting in today for Leo Laporte, who's on vacation. And we are having a blast just getting through your questions at 1-888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-827-5536. Talking about all kinds of stuff happening in the tech world. We talked about Amazon, talked about cool things to watch on Amazon Prime. Just you guys have a lot of questions. You keep them coming. There's no shortage of tech questions out there because this is the world we live in. We're using tech whether we like it or not, whether we're ready for it or not. It is in our lives. And for most of us, that's our TVs, which we've kind of figured out at this point, and our phones, and our computers, and our laptops, and our tablets, and our smartwatches, and our cars. And okay, so there's a lot of tech in our lives we got to figure out, and that's why we're here. If you ever want to see something that I talked about or something that Leo talks about, you don't have to write it down. You don't have to stop. Just go to techguylabs.com. That's the website, and they do a fantastic job here of going through everything that is mentioned on the show. You remember just one keyword, you type it in that search box, and you're going to get what you need to know. And it might not even be the show that you listen to. There might be some other people that asked the same questions in the past, so you can actually cross-reference that and figure out the best solution for you. So techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com. Now let's go to Chris in Stevenson's Ranch. Chris, you're on with Rich.
Hi, Rich. We follow you on KTLA.
Oh, thanks so much for watching. Appreciate that. How am I doing here on the radio? It's a little different than TV.
You're doing great.
Okay, thanks.
I've heard you on Leo Laporte, so you're doing a good job. The question I have is that we are considering looking into home surveillance cameras. I don't know whether we should have them managed by somebody, maintained, or are the Nest outdoor home or Ring outdoor home, or if those are sufficient.
Okay. Good question. And are you kind of a DIY guy or are you kind of a hands-off guy?
I'm kind of in the middle. I'd rather have an electrician put them together.
Okay.
But as far as the tech part is concerned, I can do that.
Okay. So yeah, I would definitely, I have a combination of these at my place. I've got some Nest cams and I have some of the Ring stuff. Okay. And Ring, so you kind of have to decide at first, like you said, do you want a managed solution, which you can go something with like, you know, like an ADT or, you know, some of these other companies out there that are starting up. I personally think that all that is a little bit more passe than kind of the new stuff that you can get, which is the Wi-Fi and cloud cams. So I had like AT&T come out to my house to, you know, give me an estimate on how much their camera setup would be. And it was just absolutely ridiculous. You know, it was a couple $1,000 just to get started, plus like, you know, $80 or $90 a month, right?
Okay.
So I don't want to do that. I think that you can piece together your own solution that's going to work just as good. So then you have to, do you want home security or just surveillance? Because there's things like SimpliSafe, which I really like, and they have a combination of the two. So are you looking for home security or just kind of the cameras?
Because we already have the home security set up. I think right now we will be doing a lot of traveling. So our concern is making sure that the exterior of the house is being monitored properly. We can always hand over the, you know, let our neighbors so that if something happens or somebody's walking through, that they're notified.
Right. Okay.
As well.
Well, there's a couple ways you can go. So I think the two big contenders right now are really Ring, which was just purchased by Amazon, as I'm sure you know. And then you have the Nest stuff. So I like these. I actually have both, and I like them both for different reasons. I love Ring because I love the video doorbell. I mean, it's just kind of like a standard, and I'm sure you've seen this in your neighborhood, but almost everyone has one now. That's a blanket statement. I mean, clearly there's people that don't, but when I walk around in my neighborhood, I'm amazed at how many people have these things. It's simple to set up. You can install it yourself. It works. It's just a nice thing to have. You got a record of everyone that comes to your door. They ring the doorbell and boom, you've got that video of them. So that's really nice. Then with the Nest stuff, they've got a good combination of the indoor and outdoor. So you can get the Nest cameras outside. You can get them inside. They're really expensive though. I find that the Nest cameras are overpriced for the market. So you are paying a premium for that service. And then not only that, but with the Nest stuff, you have to actually pay a monthly or yearly fee if you want anything more than just live. So you don't get anything included with that at all.
I see. But the Ring does.
The ring, you got to pay $30 a year for your archive video, but that's pretty cheap, and they have some pretty good deals on if you have a couple of those as well. So I don't think that's too bad. The other thing that Ring does that I really like are the cameras that you can install outside on your lights. So if you have flood lamps, you know, like if you already have floodlights, you can get an electrician to just replace those with the Ring flood lamps, and they have two lights and then the camera inside that as well. So that makes it really easy for no new wiring, right?
Right.
And then Amazon also has their Cloud Cam, which is very inexpensive. And the nice thing about that one is that it gives you a bunch of storage for free. So you get 14 days of clips on theirs without paying anything. Now, these are just clips, so you're not going to get the full 24/7 if you want. And that's pretty cheap because each one of those cloud cams is only $119. And you can get like a three-pack or a three-pack for $300. So that's pretty good.
Okay.
And now that Amazon bought Ring, you've got Ring in this really interesting place where they just lowered the price of their doorbell to $99 for their entry-level model. And that's a great deal, too. So, I don't know. I mean, I think you're going to be pretty well suited if you got the Ring doorbell and then also the floodlight cams on the sides. And then Ring also has some stick-up cams as well that you can get. That's going to serve you well. And I think the Nest is going to be a little bit more expensive, but that can serve you well as well.
Now, just one last question. Are the Nest cameras...
And I should mention, by the way, that Simply Safe and Ring are both sponsors of the show. So, they're just telling me that. So I'm just mentioning it, but I'm just giving you my opinion as well.
Okay. So the other question I have as far as the Nest camera is concerned, is for night vision, is it as good as the Ring? Obviously, the Ring has the flood lamps on it, and the visibility is going to be better if it senses motion. But with the Nest camera, if it's dark out there, it's just going to be dark.
No. The Nest, I have the Nest outside and it's fine. And you see stuff. Here's the real thing about these cameras that not a lot of people talk about is when it comes to the quality of the video, it's most dependent on your internet connection because these are cloud cameras and they're not recording to a local drive. And so that's the number one thing that you want to make sure in your setup that you have a good, strong connection to the internet and good Wi-Fi, okay? Because otherwise, the images that you get out of these cameras are not going to be very good. And so I think that any of these, if you are getting them, I think the quality is going to be good enough for what you need. But I think that the quality really depends on your Wi-Fi setup. And that's the main thing to keep in mind here, especially as you put these things in various places around your house. So if you're looking for, you're probably looking for the sides of your house to be covered, the front door and the back door, right? That's kind of a typical setup. So I think you're going to be well served with both of these. I think it really comes down to add up the cameras that you need, add up the yearly service that you need, and kind of decide whose side do you want to be in. Do you want to be in the Amazon Ring side? Do you want to be in the Google Nest side? It also depends if you have Alexa in your house, you might want to go with the Amazon stuff. If you have Google stuff in your house, like a Google Home, you might want to go with the Google and Nest side of things. Great question, Chris. Thanks so much for calling in from Stevenson's Ranch. Rich DeMuro here in for Leo Laporte. 8888 Ask Leo, 1-888-827-5536. We'll take more of your calls and questions and talk tech after this. I actually should have mentioned another security camera, but he was really talking about outdoor security. But there's another one that I really like called the Wyze Cam, WYZE, and that's super cheap. It's $20 and it records locally to your I should have mentioned it but he was asking about outdoor, and realistically outdoor is a whole different thing than indoor. So the selections are much more limited for outdoor than they are for indoor. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro here, sitting in for Leo Laporte. TechGuyLabs.com is the website to go to if you want to revisit anything that you heard on the show. You know, you heard a topic, you heard an answer, and you're like, wait a second, what was that? What was that camera? What was that thing he mentioned? What was that website? Just go to TechGuyLabs.com. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to richontech.tv. That's my website where I keep a bunch of stuff. I've got my podcast, got my Instagram, all that good stuff on there. I'm the tech reporter for KTLA 5 News in Los Angeles, sitting in for Leo today, enjoying all of your company, and we're having a great time. So let's go back to the phone lines. We've got a lot of questions here. This is a unique one. Felicia from San Diego, you want to know about your printer. Tell me about that.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have an HP DeskJet. The model is 2541, and I tried refilling the... I originally bought HP cartridges, and then when they ran out, I went to Costco and had them refilled, and the printer rejects them. It says either it says they're empty, they're, you know, out of ink, or it'll say counterfeit cartridge, do you want to continue? And then it won't let me continue.
Oh, it won't let you continue.
Yeah. I turn it on and off, and then it'll give me a different error message depending on what mood it's in, I guess. But I've tried uninstalling the printer software and reinstalling it because in my software updates, there was one from HP, and I think that's when it stopped working because they don't want you. I've heard they don't want you to buy anything but their cartridges at a...
Well, they don't want you to, but they do, and people do, and people get these to work. So I looked up your printer online, and the number one question about your printer is you know, dealing with these incompatible ink cartridges errors. So I think that your model of HP specifically is having a lot of issues with this. It applies to a lot of their printers, but this is a thing. So in an ideal world, HP would keep you using their expensive replacement cartridges, right? But a lot of people figure out that I can go to Costco, get it refilled. I can go to all these little places, you know, filling them on the corner or whatever. They have, you know, these little inkjet places. So they have 7 solutions for you. And you mentioned that you did a lot of these solutions, but I think the culprit could be actually the contacts on your printer. How long have you had this printer?
About 5 years.
Yeah. So 5 years, that lets a lot of dust in there. So I think that what you need to do is clean the contacts on these, on this cartridge. And, basically you got to get a little Q-tip, do that. And, this is saying to use anything that does not come apart or leave fibers, and coffee filters apparently work really well. And you want to get a little distilled water, and don't use alcohol. I know a lot of people use alcohol, rubbing alcohol to clean these kind of things. Don't do that. So little tiny, tiny, tiny drop, like maybe use an eyedropper to put it on the coffee filter, and just go ahead and take the cartridge out and hold it by its sides and just wipe the contacts with that coffee filter. Okay. And I think that that's going to help you do that. Have you tried doing that at all? Have you tried that?
I have, but you mentioned don't use alcohol. I use a Q-tip with alcohol. Did I ruin it?
Oh, I mean, you could have. But have you ever gotten another? Have you never gotten another? Have you tried like an HP genuine one in this thing? And you get the same problem?
Yes, they work.
And they work. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. So you've cleaned the contacts. Have you done an update on the security, on the software for the printer? Like, I'm not talking the software that's on your computer. I'm talking about the firmware on the printer.
I'm not very tech savvy, so I don't know. I don't know if you mean this. I have a CD that came with it.
Okay.
And I loaded it into my computer.
Okay. I think you may want to update the firmware. Let me see if there's a what kind of operating system are you running here?
Mac. Okay. Sierra, I think.
Okay. So we'll go there and let me see if there's a okay, so now when you do Mac, it basically does the printer software through your Mac. Do you use theirs or do you use the special software? Where's this message coming up on the printer itself?
On the printer software on the printer itself, the no ink icon flashes or the exclamation point flashes the message that I'm getting on my computer, it just says replace in cartridge or counterfeit in cartridge detected.
And it's not letting you advance through that message, because a lot of people are saying that you can just advance through that message. You sure there's no secret little X or OK or anything there?
No, I've tried. It might be just my printer model. I don't know. So my second question is, if I do need to get a new printer, what printer would you recommend that I won't have this problem with and I can get?
Well, I mean, you've got the Epson Eco, you've got that on, they're a sponsor here, and a lot of people like the Epsons because you do get refillable and you get long-lasting cartridges through them. My advice is to go to Costco and get a printer there because do you have a Costco membership?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that usually when you go into Costco, they kind of do the work for you. They have selected several items and they have them at a really good deal. Now, when you think about it, with these printers, like, the HP model is the Razer model, right? So you buy the printer for $59.99, and next thing you know, you're buying a cartridge for your first refill and it's $60. And you're like, what?
Right.
And that's sort of the problem. So, I think, you just go to Costco, find one of the printers there that seems reasonable. And when you look at the printer, look at the price of the cartridges as well. So you can kind of get an idea of what it's going to cost you when you refill these things. I think the technology's come a long way in 5 years. I think that you're going to have a better experience overall with a newer printer. I think that that's going to do it. But I would before you do all that, I would definitely look into updating the firmware. And if you can't do it personally, find someone in your life that's a little bit tech savvy and see if they can look for a firmware update for your printer. Because I don't think your printer is ruined or broken. I mean, it could be, but I think that it mainly just needs some sort of software update. There's two types of software that's running this thing. There's the software that's running on your computer, and then inside your printer, it has its own software, right? And that could be rejecting this. I know, it's kind of funny because I had the same problem with my coffee maker, if you can believe it. So when I have one of those Keurigs, right? And I bought one of the new Keurigs and I put in a pod from like Trader Joe's and it rejected it. It was like, sorry, you can't use a third party coffee K-cup. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. What world do we live in now where my coffee machine is rejecting the coffee that I'm putting into it? But this is it. This is the world we live in. These companies want you to buy from them. They want you to use their stuff. I think you got to figure out what's going on with the software. If you're ready to just ditch this thing and go with a new one, do a little research on how much that is going to cost you to get the actual cartridges and the ink that you need. Good question. 888-ASK-LEO. 888-ASK-LEO. 888-827-5536. More of The Tech Guy coming up. Welcome back to The Tech Guy, the show where we talk about your technology, all the gadgets that you got, questions that you have, things you want to be able to do with the stuff that you purchase, the software you have, the apps, all that good stuff. Rich DeMuro in for Leo Laporte today. Leo is vacationing. The Tech Guy is the show. TechGuyLabs.com is the website. So if you hear something on the show and you want to go back and hear it again, just go there. All right, James is in Las Vegas. James,
hello.
You're on with Rich.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, like the screener said, I've got 300 DVDs, and basically I'm trying to be a local streamer with those DVDs and maybe launch them through Alexa or something like that. So I'd need to know what kind of a storage device to put them on. Probably need 1.5 terabytes for 300, I'm guessing. And what software or system could launch them?
Have you already ripped these movies?
No, they're. I can play them on a DVD player.
Okay, so you have to get these. So you're going to have to get these into a digital format. Number one, you know that, right? Because I don't think there's going to be a system that. I mean, I know they used to have like a DVD carousel kind of thing, but I don't think that you're going to find one of those these days. So
I see. So it's the copy protection thing that would keep me from doing that?
Well, not necessarily. There are programs that will back up your 300 DVDs. You own these DVDs. They are yours. So
right.
I think that, you know, there are programs that will do it. Handbrake is one of them.
Okay.
Which is sort of an open source video transcoder, and you can you'll need to get an add-on because you're in a gray area, right? So you're in a gray area with these things. As long as you're not sharing these videos, I think you'll be okay because you can back these things up. What if you're like my kids that back when I used to use DVDs, you know, my kids would just step on them on the floor and they were rendered obsolete in about 5 seconds because they'd have so many scratches. So I wanted to have a backup of their movies because for some reason they wanted to actually hold Toy Story in their hand, you know, while it was playing on the TV. I don't know. Anyway, so first thing you have to do is rip those movies, get them onto a format that's going to be digital. And what I have, which I think would work for your situation, is something called a Synology, S-Y-N-O-L-O-G-Y. And this is a NAS, it's a network attached storage, and it's very simple. The one I have is super easy. It's a consumer product. It's a top seller on Amazon, and I believe it's the J series, but they have a whole bunch of them. You can just find one that fits your budget. It's a little tiny server. You connect it to your router, and you add some hard drives to it. And with my setup, there's actually, with most setups, you want to have at least two hard drives, so you can set it up as what's called a RAID, which means it's going to copy everything from one drive to the other, so you always have everything in two locations, right?
Okay.
Because if you lost one of these drives, if it crashed on you, you'd lose everything. Now, I know you still have the DVDs on backup, so you don't necessarily have to do that, but it's probably recommended. And then you need some software that's going to interface with Alexa. And I think, oh gosh, I hate saying that word on the radio because I just activated a bunch of devices. So sorry, the A word.
Okay.
That's even worse. I don't know what's worse. I'll just say, I don't know, the Amazon word. So you want to get something that's going to interface with her. And I think the one that's going to do the best job is probably Plex. Have you heard of this?
No. How do you spell that?
P-L-E-X. The website is plex.tv. And
okay.
So you're going to have to download that. And the app is free, but there are parts of it that do cost money. And I think the more you use of it, the more you're going to probably have to pay something to use this. But I think the base functionality is free on this device or this software. And you have to install that software on your Synology. And then you're going to have to connect it all to your Alexa. And once you do that, I'm looking at the Plex website. It does do that stuff. So you can play your movies without lifting a finger. And I think you're going to have a pretty good go. It's going to take you... James, do you have the next year or so of your life to do all this? To set this up?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Because you are going to need that time. Because 300 movies to rip is going to be quite the process. Hope you have a good computer.
I'll be selective. But
yeah.
Anyway, would I need an external router, or I'm on Cox Cable, and that's a panoramic combined router with a landline phone?
No, you won't. You don't need a. Is your? It really depends how many extra Ethernet jacks you have on the backside of that. So if you don't have an extra one to plug in this this Synology, yes, you will need an external. You can just get a switch and that'll work. So you don't have to get a whole nother router to do this setup, but you can just get a switch, a network switch, and connect that to your to the back of your modem that you have from Cox, and that'll work. But this is it. So again, just to review, you got to rip the stuff. Handbrake will do that. Then you got to get the Synology, install it on there, or you know, copy all your files there, install Plex on Synology, connect it all to that Echo device, and you are good to go. And I want to hear back, James. This is if I was in Las Vegas, I'd go do a segment on this because it's fascinating, and I love the idea that you know, you've got all your stuff where you can call up any movie on your Echo. That sounds like it's the future, right?
Yeah, I mean, everything's heading that way. I just want to do my own local streaming and not pay for these movies from Netflix or, you know, whoever. I've already paid once.
I was just going to say, you know, on the flip side, and I do this in my house, I've got my Chromecast hooked up to my TV and my Google Home. I'm just making sure I don't say another bad word here. And I can call out, watch. I can say the hot word for Google and say, watch Lost in Space on my living room TV. And it will say, okay, getting Lost in Space from Netflix and playing it. And my TV comes to life and it immediately starts playing on Netflix. And that is amazing. I know you just said you don't want to pay for this stuff on Netflix, but for those of you listening, if you have one of these devices, you can do a lot of this stuff with your streaming services, and it's pretty cool. So you can do it from, like, yeah, if you have Amazon connected to your Echo, you can call up things, and this all works simply with the streaming services. But with the discs, it's a little bit tougher. So it's a little bit of a gray area, like I said, but as long as you're doing it for your own use, it should be okay. Just don't share those files. I don't think you are, but that's just the main thing. All right, let's go to Burbank now, and Bob. Bob is on the line in Burbank. Bob, how you doing?
Good.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm having a problem when I go into Yahoo Finance through Chrome. I sometimes will get a red, the whole screen will turn red. I'll get a message saying security alert, call this phone number, and I have trouble getting out of it. But if I go in through Internet Explorer, I don't get that message.
Yeah, it's something that's installed on your browser that is hijacking your experience there. And what you want to do, if you're using Chrome, they have a tool. Are you on Windows or Mac?
Windows.
Okay, you're good. So the software is built into Chrome, so it's called the Chrome Software Removal Tool, okay? They used to have standalone software. Now they've sort of just built it in to Google, okay, to the Chrome. So all you have to do is go into your settings, and it's called the Chrome, let's see, Chrome Cleanup. Chrome Cleanup Tool, and you go into there, and basically it will get rid of all your unwanted ads, pop-ups, and malware. And the way you do it on Windows is you go into your Chrome, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's like those little dots for your menu. You type Settings, then Advanced, and there's under Reset and Cleanup, Cleanup Computer, and it will scan your computer, find all the stuff that might be on there that's messing you up, and clear it out. This is a fantastic tool for Windows computers if you have Chrome. Again, you can go right into your settings and find that. It's called the Cleanup Computer functionality. Rich DeMuro in today for Leo Laporte, the tech guy, techguylabs.com, and more of your calls, 8888-ASK-LEO, 8888-ASK-LEO. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The Tech Guy with Leo Laporte. Rich DeMuro sitting in for Leo Laporte today. And I've got a great guest now on the line. We've got Dick DiBartolo, who is the GizWiz. What's up, Dick?
Let's see. I have a little gadget for you. You know, I always try to find sort of unique things to talk about on The Tech Guy. And so I have a selfie stick. There are probably 5 million of them being made. But I have a selfie stick that is Bluetooth, a lot of those. But my selfie stick has a built-in LED light at the top with a little high, medium, low switch. and there's a little shutter so you can aim the LED light. And it only takes up like a half inch at the top of the selfie stick. So it's a great way to always have a light with you. And the handle, it has a 1500 milliamp battery built into it. And it's very clever. Now, nowhere in the instructions or in the reviews did anybody say this. But for laughs, since that's a micro USB that powers the light, I actually plugged it into my phone. And my phone said charging slowly, use the cable that came with the phone. But my guess is in an emergency, and I also charged my watch with it. So I guess in an emergency, you could also use that 1500 milliamp battery to drive another gadget.
Oh, wow.
And also, there's a mirror in the back.
A mirror.
So that just before they push the button for you to do a selfie or make a video, you can look in that little convex mirror and see how you look. And finally, it's $21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it seems very, very reasonable to me.
That's pretty good. It's so it's basically one-upping the selfie stick because it has this light on it. And so it's got the little light. And is the light powerful?
The light is very powerful. I mean, you're not going to light up a room, but
yourself.
You know, yes, yourself or four or five people, it's bright enough for that. And it extends all the way to, I think it was almost 34 inches, closes down to 7.3 inches. And there's another one that looks exactly like it. So it may be, you know, a lot of times on Amazon, five companies buy the same gadget and put their own name on it.
Right, right.
More Creo looks exactly like it, and that version is only $17. But I've bought M-Pal branded stuff before, so I was a big spender and spent the extra $4.
And so, okay, you like this one, the M-Pal selfie stick. And what about the how many phones can you fit in here? Like what? Sorry, not how many. Can you fit two phones in there?
I had nine in it, and eight of them.
Perfect.
I have the the biggest phone I have is the Galaxy Note 4, which is fairly wide, and that fit in there with no problem.
And what about something as thin as the iPhone 10?
I'm looking on Amazon, and the phone width is anywhere from 1.8 to 3.3 inches. So it takes some of the bigger phones.
Okay, and because you want that tight fit, you don't want to have you don't want to hold up your selfie stick and have your phone drop out. That would pretty much be the worst experience.
Yes, exactly.
Ever, right,
and a lot of people complain no instructions come with it. So be aware that the claws that hold your phone are folded in.
Oh gosh!
So make sure you fold them. A lot of people said my phone just flew out of this device, and I think they didn't realize that you have to open the claws to put the phone in.
So open the claws, put your phone in, and then is there a remote Bluetooth on this thing as well?
The Bluetooth is it's not remote. It's in the handle. So at the bottom of the handle, two buttons. One controls the light. One controls the Bluetooth shutter.
Oh, that's pretty good. And now, did you find the quality of this selfie stick to be better than with the light on it than your typical selfie?
You know what? I thought it was very well built for the money. A lot of the selfie sticks are kind of junky, and also the steel extension rod seems strong, and the wire for the light is carried inside that extending rod. So I thought it was well engineered, especially for the money.
And who do you see this for?
Me.
Besides you.
I say it for anybody who goes into a lot of different places to shoot selfies, especially restaurants and indoors. You know, outdoors, it's going to be unlikely you're going to need an LED light. But this is good for when you're at a party or something and you want to light up a corner of the room. It's perfect for that.
And the main thing is that you really want to get, you know, more people. You can fit more people in with a selfie stick, you know?
Absolutely.
And what I've noticed,
you may have to actually get more friends.
Yeah, this may force you to be more social because you're like, now I'm holding my phone so far out. Now I look lonely. No one else is in this picture with me, and I look so well lit.
I have this on high. I need five strangers to come in here and put their arms around each other's shoulders.
But if you have that light, you're going to attract them like flies to a light. All right, Dick, where do we get in touch with you?
Gizwiz.biz, click on Tech Guy Labs and you'll find the info on this, and you can play this game I have called What the Heck Is It and win Mad Magazines. Guess what that is? Only have a couple more days, and up to 18 people will win Mad number one, since Mad is now out in California and being renumbered, starting with number one.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. That's a big deal.
But I'm still in it.
Okay, good. That's the important part. All right, Gizwiz, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. Dick DiPartolo with the MPOW selfie stick. You can find that at gizwiz.biz. Okay, real quick, before we go, I just want to talk to you about Instagram. Speaking of pictures, by the way, Instagram testing several new features. And if you're taking pictures with a selfie stick, you're probably posting some of those to Instagram. And here are some of the features that are rumored now, okay? So, number one, a mute button. How handy would that be? Because nobody wants to unfollow anyone on Instagram, especially if it's someone that you have to be accepted for. Because I've done that. I'm like, oh, I want to unfollow. And they're like, well, warning, you're going to have to ask them to follow, you know, to refollow. It's like, oh, okay, never mind. So this is all from Jane Wong. She is a computer science student who appears to be looking through the app's code. And she's finding all these features that Instagram is testing. Because a lot of times on your phone, you may not see these things, but she did. And so one thing, reactions to stories, you can react in real time, slow-mo recording mode, that mute button I told you about, and now you can see your Instagram stories in a calendar archive view. So I did a story on this, but a lot of people don't realize that Instagram is saving all of your stories, saving them in sort of a backup. So you can go back on your highlights and your archive and see all the stories that you've posted to Instagram. That's going to do it for this week's show. Wow. Rich DeMuro sitting in for Leo, the tech guy. Thanks for calling in with your questions. We had a blast answering them. Thanks to everyone on the chat room and watching online. Thanks to Leo for letting me sit at his desk. That's the number one thing. Thanks to our in-studio guest, Ozned. All the way in from Australia watching today. She's in the chat room most of the time. She is here in the flesh in the U.S., all the way from the land of Oz. Kim Schaffer, Michael Cozio, the producer, and everyone else that makes this show possible. John, everyone. There's a whole team of people. Leo makes it look so easy, but there are a lot of people here that put this show on the air. I'm Rich DeMuro. If you want to learn more about me, richontech.tv. I'll see you tomorrow. Signing off today for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.